Welcome again to our studies, and thank you for joining us this morning. We appreciate so much your being a part of the program, and we want to invite and encourage you right now to open your Bible to the book of Luke. We're going to begin today in Luke chapter 1, and we hope that you can open your own Bible and follow along with us as we read and as we study together. Now, yesterday, we raised this question about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is a very important figure in the Bible. He's the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He announced that the Messiah was coming, and he proclaimed to the people that the kingdom of God was near. But how did the people know that John the Baptist was a prophet of God? We talked yesterday about the fact that there had been no prophets in Israel for 400 years. And there were false prophets from time to time in Israel, just as there were and were after this false Christ or false messiahs. So how did people know whether John the Baptist was a true, bona fide prophet of God or some false prophet or false teacher out here? Ordinarily in the Old Testament, a prophet of God proved that he was God's prophet by the miracles that he did. But there had been no prophets in Israel for 400 years, and now all of a sudden, we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that this man, John the Baptist, is preaching. So how were people able to know? Well, John 10, 40 and 41 tells us that John the Baptist did no miracle. He was not a miracle worker, and yet he was a prophet of God. So how did the people know? Well, what we find is that although John the Baptist himself did not work any miracles, like raising the dead and healing the sick and casting out demons, there were miracles that surrounded John the Baptist, so to speak, and pointed to John the Baptist that said that he was a prophet of God. You see, God can work a miracle or send a miracle that verifies that a person is who he says he is without that person himself actually doing the miracle. You remember that when Jesus was baptized, there was a voice that came from heaven, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. Well, that's not Jesus literally working a miracle himself there, like healing the sick or giving sight to the blind. A miracle was actually performed upon him there. But either way, it verified, it proved that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Well, it works the same way with John the Baptist. There were miracles that were done before John the Baptist was even born that announced, that proved to the people that John the Baptist was going to be, and later was, a prophet of Almighty God. Now, the first miracle that we read about then in New Testament times is the miracle in Luke chapter 1 of the vision that John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, saw. Zacharias was a priest. He went into the temple to burn incense, and the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 11, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Zacharias, understandably so, was troubled, and the Bible says in verse 13 that the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." That would be John the Baptist. Now, I'm going to skip over verses 14 through 17 right now. I will come back to that later. I will discuss that tomorrow. But I want to go down to verse 18, where Zacharias is talking with the angel here, and I want to emphasize some more this miracle that he's seeing here, this vision, and how that this really sets in motion the understanding that something different is taking place now. The Israelites have not seen anything like this for 400 years. And so just look at it in this way. God is about to start speaking directly to the people. In order to do that, in order to wake the people up and to announce or to prove to the people that God himself is about to start speaking through Jesus Christ, of course, through John the Baptist, through the disciples, and in these Bible books that are going to be written, God is giving kind of an announcement here. And that announcement comes in the form of these miracles, and I do say miracles, in Luke chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 2. So think of it like a telephone call. before you actually talk to the person, you hear a ring. Well, these miracles were like the ring that get the people's attention, and then God begins to speak through, as I said, John the Baptist, Jesus, and these other inspired men in New Testament times. So let's go down to verse 18 and read some more about what happened when Zechariah saw that vision of the angel. In verse 18, Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." So Zacharias was an old man, and his wife Elizabeth was an old woman. And the angel says, "You're going to have a child. Your wife is going to conceive and have a son, and you are to call his name John." Well, Zacharias said, "Well, how do I know this is going to happen? Because we are old." And the Bible says in verse 19, "And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel." Now, this is one of the few times in the Bible where you will find an angel having a name. You'll remember Michael the archangel in Daniel chapter 12. And here we have Gabriel the angel. So the Bible says that the angel said, "Look, I am Gabriel and stand in the presence of God. And I'm sent to speak unto you and to show unto you glad tidings." Now watch verse 20. "And behold, thou shalt be dumb," that is, mute, "and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." So not only do you have the miracle of the vision here, that's one miracle. Just the fact that this man saw an angel. The appearance of an angel was a miracle unlike anything that had been seen in Israel for four centuries. But you not only have that miracle as kind of a wake-up call to get the attention of the people, because at this point, you see, only Zacharias sees that vision. But in addition to that miracle, you find that the angel took away from Zacharias his ability to speak. And I believe that that's kind of interesting also when you think about miraculous power. Usually when you think about a miracle, you think about restoring a certain function like that to an individual. In other words, you think about somebody being blind and then Jesus giving sight to the blind, or you think about somebody not being able to speak and then Jesus or somebody else gives that person the power to speak again. Well, here it's the reverse, and sometimes you find that in the Bible. Sometimes God, by miracle, gives a man something that he does not have. Sometimes, by miracle, God takes away from a man what he is able to do. In the Bible, sometimes we see God's men and God's messengers taking away from people the ability to see. We read that in Acts chapter 13, where Paul struck a man blind. Here we find that the angel took away from Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, his ability to speak. And the angel Gabriel said, "The reason that I'm doing this is because you do not believe my words. You don't believe, you're asking for this further proof." It ought to be proof enough that you have seen an angel, because nobody has seen an angel for all of these centuries. So that ought to be enough evidence for you to know that this is going to happen. But in addition to the fact that Zacharias did not believe, and as a result, he's not going to be able to speak, there was a result, a good consequence that came from that. Let's continue to read in verse 21. "And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple." And the Bible says in verse 22, "And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them, and remained speechless." Now that is very important to notice. It's not just that Zacharias knows that he has seen a vision, that a miracle has occurred. Now the people know that something miraculous has taken place. Because in verse 22, you see, they're outside the temple, they're waiting for Zacharias to come back out. He's been in there for a long time, and so they've been wondering what's keeping him. Why is he staying in there so long? And when he finally did come out, he couldn't talk. So they knew that something had happened. The Bible says that they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple because he just beckoned to them. He just gestured to them with his hands or his arms, and he remained speechless. So this man, Zacharias, is not just speechless on this occasion, but for months after this, he can't talk. He cannot say a single word. Now, obviously, what happened was that these Jews began to talk about this. They would discuss among themselves what had taken place this day. And they would begin to piece together and put together, when John the Baptist was born, what had occurred. So even though John the Baptist did not work miracles himself, here, even before he was conceived, there were two miracles. Number one, the vision in the temple where his father Zacharias saw this angel. But number two, this miracle of taking away Zacharias' ability to talk. The people knew that, and they understood that God was behind that. So if they understood that these miracles were behind these events that they saw, then they would know that when John the Baptist was born, and God is going to do even more miracles now to verify this, but even with these two miracles, they know that a new age is about to be ushered in. They know that God is about to speak directly to the people. And so they could know and did know that John the Baptist was indeed a prophet of God. Now let me compare that again to what you find so many times today in religion. A man says, I'm a prophet of God. Or he simply says, God speaks to me. God told me something and I'm going to tell it to you. But there's no verification. There's no proof. There's no evidence that God has spoken to that individual. And how many people just take his word for it? How many people say, well, he just seems to be sincere. He just seems to be a good person. He just seems like that he knows what he's talking about. And who am I to question him? Folks, you have every right to question what a preacher says to you. As a matter of fact, you have the obligation to question what a preacher says and to search the Bible for yourself to see if what he's saying is true. First of all, if it's not in the Bible, don't believe it regardless of who said it. Secondly, when a man tells you that he is able to receive these messages from God and you don't receive them and nobody else does, then you can mark it down. That man does not have any proof that he is telling the truth about being a prophet of God. And the tragedy today is that that occurs many, many times, and there are many people that believe those kinds of claims. Well, folks, I've enjoyed studying with you today. I hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. We're going to talk more tomorrow about John the Baptist and about his mission on the earth. Thank you for listening, and have a great rest of the day.